Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you're listening to Radio Islam International. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the program, Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. Well, first up is health news, and obviously today we'll be looking at vitamin D supplementation may aid IBS and enough sleep for a healthy heart, and curcumin may lower inflammation in metabolic syndrome. And inshallah, immediately thereafter, we will be joined by Dr. Riaz Khan, who is a pediatric pulmonologist, and we're going to be talking about asthma, its treatment, and most importantly, its control. That will take place in a little while, immediately after the health news. A reminder to our listeners that our lines will be open throughout the program. So if you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. And we also have an SMS and WhatsApp number, 082-8492-786. That's 082-8492-786. Well, let's start up with our health news. First up is the vitamin D supplementation that may aid IBS. Now, a recent pilot study on vitamin D supplementation to help ease irritable bowel syndrome, that's IBS, offers new hope for sufferers of this chronic functional gastrointestinal, that's GI disorder. Although IBS affects 10 to 15% of people in the Western world, possible treatment has remained elusive until now. Prior to the pilot study, vitamin D supplementation has been shown to be beneficial in improving other lower GI diseases such as colon cancer and colitis. This and a single case report led researchers to explore the possibility of a link between an improvement in vitamin D supplementation and IBS. The double-blind randomized study of 51 participants found that a significant proportion of those participants who were vitamin D deficient suffered from a decreased quality of life due to IBS. When compared to the placebo strata of the study, supplementation notably improved vitamin D deficiency. Although IBS symptoms were not significantly improved in this pilot study, results showed that sufferers would benefit from screening and supplementation. The research concluded that increased vitamin D levels may improve the quality of life in IBS population with initial vitamin D deficiency. This study provides the foundation for future trials with large numbers of participants, in fact over 97 of them, to determine these findings. With regards to healthy heart, research have discovered that it's not only what you eat or drink that may increase the risk of heart disease, but also how much of and or how little sleep you get every night. The study led by Dr. Chan Won Kim, an associate professor at Kangbuk Sansung Hospital in South Korea, showed that both men and women who slept for 9 or more hours each night had more of a calcium buildup in their arterial walls and stiffer arteries than those study participants who slept for 7 hours each night. Participants who slept for 5 or less hours a night also had the same risk factors. The research also showed that the quality of shut eye mattered, as those who slept erratically also suffered from the same risk factors. The bottom line is to get enough good quality sleep, and if you are struggling to sleep well, consider consulting a sleep specialist. And finally, curcumin may lower inflammation in metabolic syndrome. Now, the term metabolic syndrome describes a group of risk factors that raises your risk for heart disease and other conditions. A new study published in January online in Clinical Nutrition suggests that curcumin, when added to the diet, may lower inflammation in those people with risk factors for heart disease. In the 8-week trial, researchers found significant reductions in signs of inflammation such as C-reactive protein, CRP, and other blood markers. Curcumin is the active ingredient of the famous spice turmeric and has a long history of culinary and medicinal use in the Asian countries, said the study's senior author, Amir Hussain Sahibkar, from the Mashhad University of Medical Sciences in Iran. Curcumin's two main therapeutic effects lie in its strong antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. Sahibkar and his team designed a randomized controlled clinical trial to see if short-term use of a curcumin supplement could reduce inflammation in people with metabolic syndrome. And that brings us to the end of health news. Well, coming up next is our program on health awareness, and it's World Asthma Awareness Day soon. It's coming up, in fact, on the 3rd of May 2016, and the theme this year is You Can Control Your Asthma. So joining me in the main studio this afternoon, at Radio Islam is Dr. Riaz Khan, who is a pediatric pulmonologist. We'll be speaking to him in a few moments. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and joining me this afternoon is in our male studios at Radio Islam is Dr. Riaz Khan, pediatric pulmonologist. We're going to be talking about asthma, about its treatment, and also the importance of controlling your asthma, and also the role of NEEP, or the National Asthma Education Program, inshallah. A reminder to our listeners, if you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, and of course we have an SMS number or a WhatsApp number, which is 082-84-92-786. Now, proper long-term management of asthma will permit most patients to achieve good control of their disease. The Global Burden of Asthma report, however, documents ample evidence that in many regions around the world, this goal is often not met. In South Africa, the situation is dire. Hospitalizations, emergency room visits, and other urgent care occur when a person's asthma is not under control. Although the rates of these medical visits generally increase as the prevalence of asthma rises, the very high proportions of people with asthma who require such care in South Africa is an indication that lack of control is widespread. Asthma deaths are the ultimate tragic evidence of uncontrolled asthma. According to the Global Burden of Asthma report, the majority of asthma deaths are preventable. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Dr. Riaz Khan. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this afternoon.
Wa alaikum salam, Zina.
Now, we'll start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself, and of course also what really is a pediatric pulmonologist.
Sure. At the moment, I practice in Parkland Hospital. I'm a pediatrician, so I look after children with any sorts of illnesses, but I specialize in lung diseases. So any child with any wheeze or cough or asthma are the children that come to me to be seen.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Now, in my introduction, we spoke about, you know, South Africa. We spoke about the importance of control, of course. And in South Africa, unfortunately, the situation is very dire. What are some of the reasons why asthma control is so lacking in South Africa?
Okay, so in South Africa, there's usually a high cost of medication. And this means that many people with asthma cannot receive sufficient medication to control their disease. Also, certain asthma medications are not available in many areas. In some areas, like in the rural areas, there's often not enough medical professionals available to make the diagnosis of asthma. And asthma in a young child, less than 5 years old, the diagnosis is quite difficult to make. So often, number one, the diagnosis is missed or not made. And number two, people do not get their treatment. And thirdly, the most important reason is patients are not compliant with their treatment.
Okay, so basically that means that they may not continue with the medication, and that is something, if you are if you have asthma, it may take a long time and you need to continue with this medication all the time.
Correct, yes. You see, what happens with asthma, Zenith, is that it's a disease that comes and goes. So when you take your medication, you feel well. Okay, but it's periods where you are not well that you should still be taking your medication. And we'll discuss that later when we talk about controller medication and reliever medication.
Okay, right. So let's talk a little about what exactly asthma is. You know, perhaps you can explain to us, you know, for listeners out there, you know, we always hear the term asthma, but I don't know if we're quite sure, all of us, or do we really know what exactly asthma is. So please explain that to us.
Sure. So asthma is a chronic inflammatory lung disease. Right, and the hallmark is airway inflammation and airway obstruction. By airway obstruction, we mean the airways are narrow. That means they're very small. And by airway inflammation, we mean the airways start to swell. So what happens, Zenith, is with exposure to certain triggers like viral infections or environmental tobacco smoke, the patient starts having symptoms suggestive of asthma, which are a cough, tightness of chest, shortness of breath, and wheezing. This then results in airway obstruction, and the airway obstruction is only reversed by a bronchodilator. And the typical pattern of asthma, Zenith, is short, recurrent attacks or exacerbations of a cough and a wheeze, and these episodes may vary in severity and in duration, and they're often separated by long symptom-free intervals. Asthma usually begins in childhood, but it may have a late onset as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that, one of the causes for, treatment control is diagnosis. Now, is asthma a very difficult disease to diagnose?
Yes, it is. It is.
Why?
The reason is it shares its symptoms with many other diseases. So, in particular, in a young child, less than 5 years old, a lot of children will have viral infections as they're going to school or they're going to creche, and people think, it's just the creche or the viral infections that are making them sick. But if you look closely into their history, some of them, their parents may have asthma, or they may themselves have other comorbidities like allergic rhinitis, which predispose your children to asthma.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important is it? I know, like we said, it's difficult to diagnose, but how important is it to if you have the symptoms and to actually identify the condition as early as possible?
It's very important to diagnose early, because with early diagnosis comes correct treatment and correct lung functions later on in life. The key with asthma is, once your diagnosis is correct and you had the appropriate tests by the appropriate medical professionals, you can take your medication and still live a completely normal life.
Okay. Now, with regards wheezing, which I believe is one of the symptoms of asthma, but does wheezing in infancy necessarily mean that you will develop asthma?
That's an excellent question, Zenith. Unfortunately, wheezing in infancy is quite common. If, for example, if a mom smoked in her pregnancy, then it's more likely the child that's born to her will wheeze. Also, if children are preterm or are born with a low birth weight, the airways are more narrower, so they will wheeze in infancy. Children with other conditions like heart conditions, children with immune deficiencies, children with diseases like cystic fibrosis, children with gastroesophageal reflux may also wheeze. So it clouds the diagnosis in infancy.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the child will, develop asthma.
That's correct. Okay. No, a wheeze doesn't equate to asthma. A wheeze just means that the airways are narrowed. The doctor has to take a full history of the parents and to try and ascertain if there are any allergic symptoms in the child or if the mother or father have had asthma to try and make a diagnosis of asthma in infancy.
Okay, but I'm sure if a child is wheezing, it's absolutely necessary for you as a parent to have it seen to and not to, delay and hope that, it won't be asthma.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, what are some of the risk factors for asthma?
Okay, so the main risk factor is a parental asthma, mm-hmm. either the mother or the father. Okay, the second one is if the mother or father have allergies, then the child is more likely to have asthma. A third risk factor is if a child is wheezing without a fever in the first 2-3 years of life, that's another risk factor for asthma. But it's usually recurrent wheezing when the child is well. This is when the child who's playing around, playing in the ground and suddenly starts coughing or wheezing. It's that type of wheezing we're referring to. There are two other risk factors that are important, and the one is allergic rhinitis in the child or if the child themselves have got eczema. Smoking is another risk factor if the mom has smoked in her pregnancy or she's smoking now while the child is still with her, or if any other person is smoking in the household. These are risk factors for asthma.
Okay, now you're talking about smoking. I think we can talk a little about triggers there also, because you mentioned earlier about smoking being a trigger. So when we talk about triggers, what are we actually talking about?
Okay. Triggers are things that can precipitate an asthma attack. And here we're looking specifically at viral infections like respiratory syncytial virus, rhinovirus. These are common viruses seen in infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Other triggers are environmental tobacco smoke, as you mentioned, pollen, mold, house dust mite, cats, dogs, exercise, cold air, and certain medication, for example, aspirin or ibuprofen and beta blockers, can all be triggers for asthma.
Okay, so that's interesting to know. But just a reminder to our listeners, we're talking about asthma. World Asthma Day is on the 3rd of May 2016. And then we're doing it a little earlier so that people can be aware of it. And when the day comes, they'll be knowing more about it, inshallah. Now, the theme this year is you can control asthma. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little in this program today. But also like to remind our listeners that our lines are open. If you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. We also have an SMS number 082-849-2786. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we will continue with our program. Please do stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. My guest is Dr. Riaz Khan, who is a pediatric pulmonologist, and he practices from, is that Sorry, I beg your pardon. I think I've got it wrong there. I'll ask Dr. Khan to tell us where he's practicing from.
Sure. No, I'm practicing from Park Lane Hospital.
Okay, sorry about that.
But I'm representing the National Asthma Education Program today, which is an organization. It's a national organization that's based in Cape Town, but we have doctors in Johannesburg, Durban, and Cape Town as well that help to look after patients with asthma.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, doctor, can you tell us, you know, you mentioned a few of the symptoms, but can you tell us if there are other symptoms for asthma that we should be aware of?
Yes, you know, in fact, one of the common symptoms is a recurrent cough, Zenith, where the children start coughing, and it's usually early in the morning or at night. The other is a cough that starts after exercise, you know, or playing sport, or the child's running around, and that's when the cough or the wheezing or the tightening of chest starts. Amongst other things, recurrent chest infections that take a long time to get better could be a symptom of asthma. Any cold that goes to the chest could be indicative of asthma. And if your medical practitioner has put you on a bronchodilator and there's a good response to it, chances are you have asthma. Mm-hmm. If you've been on a course of steroids and you're getting better with the steroids, there's a strong possibility you may have asthma. Also, if there's a family history of allergies and asthma, then it's more likely for you to have asthma.
Okay. So, actually, you need to be very, aware of this. And I think for parents, especially with little ones, these are symptoms that you should be aware of at all times. And I think, you know, winter coming up, these are common symptoms that you know that you would get for just a common flu, common cold, things like that. But these few symptoms that you mentioned, that the recurring chest infections, the recurring cough, shouldn't just be taken lightly. Okay. Now tell us more about the two components of asthma and why is it necessary to treat both these components?
Sure. See that the first component is airway obstruction, and the second, as we mentioned before, is airway inflammation. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about airway obstruction first. With airway obstruction, the smooth muscle in the airway becomes narrowed or constricted, and this decreases the flow of air into the lungs, and it also prevents air from leaving the lungs. The air then becomes trapped in the lungs. As the air tries to escape from the lungs, it may cause a sound that you hear as a wheeze. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to treat this with a bronchodilator, which we'll come to later. And this is usually in the acute phase of an asthma attack. The second part is airway inflammation. This is when a child has been exposed to a trigger that we spoke about, like environmental tobacco smoke or viral infections, and now the airway wall has become swollen or thickened or inflamed. This inflammation, unfortunately, remains even when the allergen is removed, and this is the part that we target with our inhaled corticosteroids. Without use of inhaled corticosteroids, the underlying inflammation in the lung does not get better. And this is why it's very, very important to treat asthma with an inhaled corticosteroid together with a bronchodilator.
So this is the reason why both of them must be. It has to be treated at the same time, simultaneously.
Correct.
Mm-mm. Now, we hear about, obviously people that have children or are asthmatic themselves will know what a reliever is and what controllers are. So please explain that to us. What exactly is a reliever? What is a controller?
Sure. A reliever is a short-acting bronchodilator, and that just means that the airways are getting larger. It's so a reliever or a bronchodilator makes a small airway big. These relievers are usually called an asthma pump or a salbutamol inhaler. They have a rapid onset of action and they provide immediate relief of the acute symptoms of asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is usually the cough and the tightening of chest that get much better when you take a reliever. With a controller refers to drugs that have an anti-inflammatory action, and the most effective controller therapy we have currently for asthma are inhaled corticosteroids. See that a daily use of inhaled corticosteroids is extremely important because not only will it reduce your symptoms of asthma, but more importantly, it decreases asthma-related hospitalizations, it improves quality of life, it improves lung function, and it decreases asthma attacks and exacerbations, and improves overall morbidity and mortality from asthma.
Okay. So these are the medications basically that has to be taken daily.
That's right.
Okay, so even if you're feeling absolutely fine, or your child is feeling absolutely fine, you still need to take these.
That's right.
Okay, and what about the relievers? How often are relievers supposed to be taken, or how do you take them then?
Sure. So a reliever, it depends on the age of a child. In a small child, we often use a reliever with a valve holding chamber, mm-hmm. or simply called a spacer. This helps the child to breathe with a spacer for 5 breaths and then the medication is inhaled. The relievers are only used when the child has symptoms of tightness of chest that are in the acute phase. These are not taken on a daily basis. They are only taken when the child has an acute exacerbation. Once the exacerbation has stopped, then the relievers are no longer used. Your controllers are used on a daily basis, even when the child is feeling well and when they're sick as well.
Yes, I think it's so important for us to know this, because what sometimes happens is, the moment, well, as adults we do it, the moment we feel better, we stop all medication. And especially if we look at... if we are given medication to take on a daily basis until you're well. The minute we feel better, we just stop the medication. And sometimes we, unfortunately, as parents, do that to our younger children because we don't want them to take so much of medication. We always think of, there may be side effects to it. And talking about side effects, are there any side effects to these these relievers and controllers that they use?
Okay, so let's start with the relievers first. There are a few side effects for the relievers, but these are quite short side effects. It's usually a bit of irritation, you get a tachycardia, you get a bit of a tremor and tremble, and then the kids are fine after that. With the controllers, if the controllers are taken at the dose prescribed by the medical professional, then in most times there are very, very, very few side effects. The common side effects which we often see are a bit of throat irritations and minor infections in the mouth like candida. The more severe side effects are only seen with prolonged use of corticosteroids, and they're usually more seen with the oral corticosteroids as opposed to the inhaled corticosteroids. And those side effects are stunting and weight gain, there can be bruising of the skin, and other side effects. But these are few and far between.
Okay. Right. Let's look at the next question that I have for you. It's with regards to control. When is asthma actually considered to be controlled?
That's an interesting question. Well, Zenith, it's when the daytime symptoms like the cough, the wheeze, the shortness of breath are completely absent, or they're there at least less than twice a week, we consider a child to be controlled. The child has to not have any nighttime waking due to the asthma. There must be no limitation of any physical activity. So the child must be running around normally without coughing or wheezing. A reliever, if it is used, must only be used less than twice a week. In an older child, if he has a lung function, the lung function test must be normal. All these symptoms have to be prevalent for us to call a child controlled with asthma.
Okay. What are the goals of asthma treatment?
Okay, Zenith, the goals of asthma treatment are fairly simple. In a nutshell, it's to live a normal, active life as possible. So, to be symptom-free from asthma during the day and the night, that is no coughing, no wheezing, no shortness of breath, no tightness of chest. To be attending school or work normally. To be participating in activities like sport completely normally. To avoid hospitalization and asthma exacerbations. And to achieve normal lung function.
Now, they have something called the action plan and the asthma diary. Could you, explain that to us, and how does this actually work?
Sure. So the asthma action plan is a plan that we give to parents which they can follow when they are away from a medical professional. So it has three different zones. There's a green zone, there's an orange zone and a red zone. In the green zone, it tells you that your asthma is under control. And this is when, as you've pointed out already, there's no coughing or wheezing, the child is playing, and there's no sleep disturbance, and you're using a reliever less than 2 to 3 times a week. In the orange zone is when the asthma is getting worse. This is where the child is coughing or wheezing, he's waking up at night, or is using his reliever and is having problems playing sport. When the child reaches the orange zone, then they need to take their normal medication that the doctors put them on, and they have to increase their reliever inhaler therapy to 2 puffs 4 times a day until they're back in the green zone. Remember, Zenit, in the green zone, they're well. So they're still taking their normal asthma medication, which is their controllers that the doctor has put them on. If the child then moves on and the asthma gets worse, and now they're in the red zone, which is the danger zone. The danger zone is when the child is breathing fast, they can't talk easily, they can't feed properly, there's severe shortness of breath, or they're using the reliever pump, but it's not helping. When this happens, then they need to take 1 puff of their reliever every minute for 10 minutes until they notice their chest is getting better. So the cough gets better, the wheezing gets better, and the chest tightness disappears. Also, if a doctor has prescribed them, they can get a dose of a steroid medication, either oral syrup or oral tablets.
Okay.
And the parent will have this asthma action plan with them for the entire period. So they will if they reach the red zone, they will start treatment and then they will contact a doctor. With respect to the asthma diary is a diary that children use on a daily basis. And this helps us to assess control when we review the child on their 3-month visit. So what the diary has is, it's got symptoms of asthma. For example, cough, and the parent can tick the cough, whether it's happening during the day or at night. The parent can also tick when the child is wheezing or if the chest is tight. They then tick if they've used a reliever or if they've visited a clinic or a hospital. And on the diary, the parent usually records the controller medication on a daily basis. So when the child and parent return to the medical professional 3 months later, the doctor has a good idea of what's happened in the absence and can adjust medication. Either increase medication if the symptoms are not getting better or decrease medication if the child looks a lot better.
And the action plan and the asthma diary, where is it available?
Sure. See that both of these are available on the website www.asthmasa.org.
Okay.
Both of these can be downloaded from the website.
And it's a wonderful idea, to actually have this with you. I think for many parents out there, it makes it so much simpler. And I think also very important is if you have a child that is asthmatic and perhaps wanting to stay over at somebody's place, it also helps those people, how to take care of the child, especially grandparents, aunties, aunts, immediate family for that matter. And I think that's basically, if you have a child that has a condition like asthma, you would rather the person that you're leaving the child with know how to deal with any episodes that may come up.
Yes, absolutely correct.
Okay. At what age can one actually become asthmatic?
Okay, Zenith, most children that we see actually have symptoms in infancy. Okay, so it's usually from 1 year onwards. But what happens is, because they're quite small and lots of children have wheezing episodes in infancy, a lot of them are missed and they go by undiagnosed. Because they're getting recurrent upper respiratory infections, some of them are going to creche or going to school, they're often missed. But usually, if you speak to most adult asthmatics, you'll find that a fair proportion of them have symptoms in childhood.
So basically it's not curable, not completely curable. It may come up later in life too.
That's correct, yes. Asthma at the moment is not a curable disease, but it certainly can be diagnosed correctly and it can be managed effectively, so you can still have a completely normal life.
And can adults actually develop asthma if perhaps they never had it when they were young?
Yes, that's quite interesting, because there's a theory that with changes in airway growth, which often occurs in the adolescent period, adolescents may be more exposed to environmental tobacco smoke. They may lead a more sedentary lifestyle. Their eating patterns may be more junk food and they may become obese. This seems to be an additional risk factor for developing asthma in older age group. And there's different genes involved here as opposed to the asthma that we see in infancy.
Okay. Just a question that's come in. Does asthma affect an unborn baby? That is, if the mother is pregnant, does it affect the unborn baby in any way?
Well, and look, if the mother is proven to have asthma, right, then the child will have a risk factor for asthma. Okay. It doesn't mean the child will necessarily develop asthma. Okay, the child will need to be watched carefully in the first year of life. The mom will obviously make sure she does not smoke, okay, in her pregnancy, and not smoke, and she mustn't smoke when she's breastfeeding as well. Okay, these additional factors will help to ensure that the child grows up in an environment that's quite conducive to living and without risk factors for asthma. In fact, I would probably advise a mom who's gotten who is asthmatic and who's got a child that's young to try and probably keep the child away from creche for the first 2 to 3 years of life, because the more viral infections a child has, the more chance the child has of developing an asthmatic episode, because asthma can be genetic as well as environmental.
Okay. Now, we have very little time left, but earlier on you mentioned that you are representing the NEEP, National Asthma Education Program. Can you tell us a little about it?
Sure. See, that NEEP is a non-profit organization that was formed in 2009, and its main purpose is to create an awareness of asthma among the South African general public as well as health professionals. We try to disseminate as much information we can about diagnosis and treatment of asthma. We want to ensure that symptoms are easily recognized by patients and health professionals to ensure that an appropriate diagnosis is made and the correct treatment is carried out. We also want to ensure effective control of asthma by encouraging a partnership between patients and health professionals, especially nursing sisters and doctors, who are often at the forefront of treating asthma. Currently, we can use lots of modern treatment and education programs to help to control asthma. In fact, for medical professionals that are more keen to learn about asthma, we offer them an asthma certificate which they can study for 6 months, and then they undergo a course of rigorous exams and questions, and then they pass with a certificate in asthma, and then they become a representative of NEEP.
Okay. And, how can people get involved with NEEP, especially this World Asthma Day, which is coming up very soon?
Sure. So, they can call NEEP directly, and the number is 021-830-5937, or they can send an email with any questions that they have regarding their child or diagnosis or treatment to the email address is NAEPR@netactive.com. They are based in Cape Town, but they are representatives throughout South Africa who will respond to their questions.
Well, thank you very much for all that information, Dr. Riaz Khan. But just before we leave, what message do you have for our listeners out there?
Quite a simple one. Asthma is a disease. Although we can't cure it, we can certainly control it. And if patients are compliant with their medication, especially the inhaled corticosteroids, then we can certainly decrease the morbidity and decrease the mortality from this disease, and asthma patients can lead a normal life as possible.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Riaz Khan, for sharing all that vital information with us. We certainly do appreciate it, and I'm sure this program will certainly benefit our listeners out there. Once again, Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, just a reminder to our listeners out there, if you would like more information with regards to asthma or even what's happening, for World Asthma Day, which is on the 3rd of May 2016, the theme, remember, is you can control asthma, and I think that is very important for all of us to remember. But if you want more information, you can contact them on this number, 021-830-5937. You can also also visit the website, which is www.asthmasa.org. And of course, if you would like, if you have any questions or concerns, you can also email them on this number, email address. It's neepnaepr@netactive.co.za. Once again, Dr. Riaz Khan, Jazakallahu Khair, for joining us on this program, Family Health Matters.